Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Time for that Monday basketball talk here on Drive Time Sports as we are down to the final 15 to 14 games of the regular season. And things are heating up in the Western Conference. I think the play-in round is going to be very entertaining, but I also believe entertaining is a relative term, and it doesn't necessarily mean that anyone in the play-in round has a chance for a championship. We'll talk more about that. We'll also talk about the Eastern Conference in general. Joining us right now, as he does each week, we have James Hollis. James, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, brother. I'm sitting here happy like a fat cat. I'm holding my breath about the Celtics, and I'm not gonna lie. I'm enjoying watching the Lakers kind of deconstruct, but I'm not gonna rub your face in it.
No, go right ahead. You have every right to do it, especially as a Celtics fan. But I do want to start by talking about the Celtics before we do that. If we look over the last five games, wins against Phoenix, Portland, Utah, Phoenix again, and Washington, one of the things that does stand out to me about this team, this is following back-to-back losses to Cleveland and Denver, and I don't think you can ever overstate this enough. When a team who is number one or number two in its conference takes care of business against the teams they need to take care of business against, James, to me, that's very telling. And I know that's something that the Boston Celtics have done following back-to-back losses to two good teams. I think that's a mark that sometimes gets overlooked. Beat the teams you are supposed to beat. Oddly enough, there are a lot of teams that we consider good teams in the NBA that have not done this as of late.
Yeah, man. It's all about, you know, can you hold your own against the elite? Obviously, crush the ones that you're supposed to beat, and then, you know, do better than average against the average. So, Boston right now is hitting on all cylinders. I'm worried almost that they're peaking a little too early, right? There's like, what, maybe 15, 20 games left in the season, and Jaylen Brown has been the best player on the team for the last 2-3 weeks. Tatum is still trying to find a shot, and doesn't even matter. You know, the Celtics cracked the Wizards without three starters. We're up by 30-something at one point. At the other end of the spectrum, I think I just heard a stat today that blew my mind. The Lakers are the only team with a winning record that have a negative point differential, which is insane to say out loud. The lack of consistency with a superstar like LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing as many games as they both played, the lack of consistency from this team is just startling, right? Because normally LeBron James is the tide that lifts all boats, and you got him on your team, you're going to kind of, you know, things are consistent, but I don't know what to make of these Lakers.
I don't either. And I think at some point in time, when you get 65, 70 games into a season, you got to look at a team and just be realistic about it. This isn't a good team. The roster construction, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. We could say here probably spent an hour talking about that. I know you weren't big on it going into the season. I think coaching is a little bit below average. I think everyone can agree. I'm surprised that Darvin Ham still has a job here in March, although there were times where it looked as if this team was playing better basketball. You know, but it goes back to the front office as well. That's the thing, James. There are multiple areas that you could point fingers at. I think engagement has also been embarrassing at times for this team. They're failing on multiple levels, and they're not the only team doing that. We're going to talk about the Lakers because we have LeBron James, we have Anthony Davis. But look, the Phoenix Suns are another team. I mean, they're packed with star power. Yes, they've had their injury issues. For a team with this much talent to be sitting at number 8, you have the Dallas Mavericks, a team that has just a lethal backcourt and Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. They're sitting in the 7. The play-in round is going to be entertaining, but I can't take any of the teams 7 through 10 right now serious enough based off what we've seen in 65 games to say that team can make a deep run and win a championship. I can't do it.
Yeah, man, you nailed it. Like, you know, a team that's in 7 or 8 or 9, the questions could be there, but like the biggest answer is they're probably not very good or they have glaring flaws. That's why they're 7, 8, or 9. With Phoenix, I believe a big issue, obviously, also roster construction, but that's the price you pay when you go all in to get a guy like Bradley Beal. I don't think Beal was the guy to go all in on. And maybe he was like, you know, the only thing they had. Like, it's almost like when you work for a certain company and they have a budget and they go, hey, we got to spend this money by the end of the year or next year our budget will be smaller. So you might buy some stuff you don't necessarily need. You can use it, but you didn't need it. And you might overpay for it. That's where Bradley Beal was, I think, when it came to the Suns. They made the deal. Everything else is minimum, you know, minimal roster kind of guys, minimum salary kind of guys. So, and that's where it shows up. So past the top three, with Devin Booker being in and out and Beal being in and out and even KD had a couple injuries, once you get one of those guys off the floor, you're severely hampered when you're at the Suns. And that's where it's going to come down to. They can't keep those three healthy at the same time, and they won't have a prayer.
Let's stick with the West. We'll talk about the Clippers. Seems like every time you and I jump on this bandwagon and say, wow, you know, the Clippers look good, this team looks legitimate, I still believe, front to back, they may be one of the best rosters in the NBA. But the fact is, over the last five games, they've suffered losses to Milwaukee and Minnesota. Again, those are two teams that are the elite. They did pick up a win against the Bulls, but then they lost to New Orleans and Atlanta. And those are the two losses that are really, really hard for me to overlook at this particular time, especially when you're getting solid performance out of Paul George, you're getting a solid performance out of Kawhi Leonard, and you're still losing games to the likes of the Pelicans and the Hawks in March. That's tough, James. That's very tough to overlook.
So the Pelicans, you can chalk up to the Pelicans are the enigmatic team that is very talented but maybe doesn't have the reps. TJ, Brandon Ingram, and Zion really haven't played on the floor together that much. And, you know, it kind of waxes and wanes. But other than that, the Pelicans are actually a solid team. Like, Trey Murphy, the guys they have around their top three are actually really good. So I can see the Pelicans loss. The Atlanta loss, that's unacceptable. And basketball, we know, it's, you know, what happens on the court. These talented players, a lot of measurables, you can get points. But I think a real basketball team, there's something you can't quantify. A certain soul to a basketball team that matters. And that the Clippers have no soul, right? Kawhi is famously a robotic kind of guy. Paul George is like a stereotypical number two. I think he's a front runner kind of player where he's a great weapon to have, but he's not going to be your leader. James Harden, notoriously poor performances when he's leaning on in the clutch. We know he's, you know, this is supposed to help him out because he's not the best player on the court. Russ is now a bit player and he's injured. So I think this team is talented. Like you said, top to bottom, there's a lot of nice pieces there. But there is no one guy to kind of like rudder the ship. Sure, Ty Lue is kind of that guy, the coach. And we've seen teams win where the coach is kind of the heart and soul, but that's very rare, right? Draymond is the guy for Warriors. I thought Marcus Smart was the guy for Celtics, and now maybe Tatum and Brown are taking ownership of the leadership some. There's just no guy that you really look to on in the Clippers. You say, that guy is going to lay down in the mud and fight when the time comes. Other than Westbrook, and Westbrook's now a bench player. So, yeah, man, the Clippers are enigmatic. I'm excited to see them in the playoffs to see if they can shake their demons.
Yeah, but they're also in a tough spot because, so, well, let me ask you this before I ask this next question. When you look at the Western Conference playoffs right now, can we agree that Denver more than likely will be the one seed going into the playoffs? I believe they overtake OKC. Do you agree?
Maybe, and I think so. And even if they don't, Denver is, I think, probably head and shoulders the best team in the West. So, one seed or not, they're still the best team in the West. So, yes, for the sake of this argument, I will agree.
Okay, let's say they grab the one seed. That means in order to get in to the Western Conference Finals, the Clippers, if all things stay the same right now and Denver was to top OKC, Denver, as that, or the Clippers, rather, as that four seed, would have to get through New Orleans. Then they would have to move on and they would get the Nuggets. And then they would have to take on either the winner of OKC and Minnesota if all things were to stay equal. That is a gauntlet. When you look at it right now with the Western Conference, this is part of the reason why I don't buy into any team that's 7 through 10 right now going into the play-in round. Regardless of what set of the bracket you are on, you're going to have to go through some elite squads. You're going to have to get through Denver, Minnesota, and either the Clippers or OKC. Like, I just don't know if there's a clear path for the Clippers right now sitting in that 4-5 spot. To me, they needed to move up into the top three, and that's not going to be possible.
Yeah, and, you know, you're absolutely right. But this is, I think this goes more towards how the West is an absolute bloodbath versus an indictment of the Clippers, right? Even though both things can be true. The Clippers, after a raging hot stretch, you know, once Harden kind of got acclimated, they looked like the best team in the West, if not the best team in the league, for about, I don't know, a month and a half. And now they're looking very ordinary again. And, you know, kind of like the adrenaline might be wearing off some, and they're kind of, you know, flaws are starting to stick out. But any team in the West is going to have a gauntlet like that, right? With OKC, the Timberwolves. Health is going to come into play, right? Carl Anthony Towns, we're not going to sure if he's going to be back and ready to roll, which makes a big difference. Denver looks a little thin. Obviously, their starters are great, and they've been, you know, they're a buzzsaw. They're very businesslike. The bench is doing what they have to do. But, you know, the bench is kind of maybe a question in the playoffs. Guy like Peyton Watson. Yeah, and the Clippers, they have all the tools. But much like the Celtics last year, they had all the tools, and mentally things just kind of weren't there. They weren't mature enough in certain places. Let's see if Ty Lue has his work cut out for him.
Speaking of having your work cut out for you, let's jump back over to the Eastern Conference. Cleveland Cavaliers. if they are healthy, how tough of an out is this team? And I say if, that's a big if. We know that this is a team that's been depleted by injuries all season long, yet they still have 42 wins. If this team is healthy, how difficult of an out do they become?
I want to say pretty tough, but then I can't shake the memory last year of a less talented but tougher Knicks team just pushing them around. I believe it was Bomani Jones that came up with the saying that the Cleveland Cavaliers don't have big men, they have tall men. They just have talls. And it's very true. If you get physical with them, if you push them around, if you go right at them, they folded. Jared Allen famously said it himself last year, the lights were a little too bright. So did they use that experience? Are they going to come back a little tougher? Are they battle-tested? Possibly. We do know that Donovan Mitchell can have tremendous playoff moments, like some supernatural type stuff almost, when he has the right people around him. We do know that I think Darius Garland is a reasonable number two. That would be my one question about them, right? So small in the backcourt. But on paper, and like you just said, 42 wins with all the injuries they've had, maybe this is giving guys reps, and last year's disappointment might have kind of catapulted them in the playoffs. But until they do it, I got to see it.
I had someone bring up, we were talking about the Eastern Conference this weekend, I had someone bring this up to me, and we talked about the Pelicans a moment ago, so I actually thought it was an interesting conversation. Are the Orlando Magic the New Orleans Pelicans of the Eastern Conference? When you take a look at the way this team is built, obviously there are some pieces that New Orleans has that nobody else has, but when you take a look at this Magic team, fun, exciting, gritty, play hard, right? They got 40 wins already, they're going to be a top five team, I believe, in the Eastern Conference. Is that a comparable comp?
I guess who obviously not a one-to-one comparison. I get that, but like, sure, you know, Banchero's a big physical, basically what would be a power forward 10-15 years ago is now he's now a wing playing, yeah, handling the ball, kind of like a Zion Light, you know, pardon the pun. They kind of do it by committee. A different guy gets up every night. They don't have a Brandon Ingram, you know, a big-time scorer on the perimeter, unless you want to squint and say that, you know, one of the Wagner boys, which one is the good one? I think Franz is the better one.
Yeah, Franz the better one, yeah.
Right, and then, undersized guards, sure, you can look at them and say they're almost like a bizarro Pelicans. When they're clicking at their best, they can be defensively suffocating, but you got to have, obviously you don't have to start off like the Pelicans do with a guy like Ingram and CJ. And Zion, but it's been such an awkward fit. Maybe I think the guys maybe fit a little bit better in Orlando, but the talent level is not there. But yeah, I think everyone has to be cautiously optimistic, cautious around the Magic because they are a tough team, but their lack of experience is where they're going to get killed in the playoffs.
Yeah, when I look at what they have in the post, I've actually been a big Wendell Carter fan for quite some time, and I kind of like the fact that this guy is playing some pretty decent basketball right now. I think he's hovering around 12, 13 points a game, averaging about 7 rebounds per game as well. Again, it's just it's a weird piece, right, when you fit this all together because you got Banchero rolling with Wendell Carter in the front court. Those pieces are small. Right, I don't know. This Magic team to me is an intriguing team going into the postseason. It really is.
I think honestly, like this offseason, they could maybe be a free agent target. Like, imagine one big name guy like a Donovan Mitchell going there, right? So you know you got a real deal, all NBA All Star type guy surrounded by these teams. Like, that'd be fun. Maybe some young star wants to come there and strike out on his own. And look, as we're talking, think about this. A guy like Jaylen Brown somehow finds his way over there because the Celtics disappoint this year. Jaylen Brown surrounded by Banchero and some defenders. I would personally love it, and I would be wearing Orlando Magic jersey next year. But, much like we talked about the OKC last year and even now this year where all this is found money, the Orlando Magic are playing with house money. No one expected much from them this year. I think they're probably ahead of the curve developmentally-wise. And they all seem like they're valuable, high-character, hard-playing guys. So it's good to see.
You brought up the Celtics disappointing again, man. You are so pessimistic with this. This team's 53-14. 53-14, James.
Last year, the Bucks had the number one seed, and they got cooked by the Miami Heat. Sure, Giannis missed a game and a half, whatever, but he came back, and the numbers were there, so we can't say he wasn't healthy. And I remember watching that happen and kind of laughing at the Milwaukee Bucks. And then I laughed at the Knicks. And then the Miami Heat came for me, and there was no one to save me. So my point is that all the regular season fun, fun and games, great. We saw Miami have to win two play-in games to get to the playoffs. So like that, or however many play-in games they had to win, that they actually lost to Chicago first. So maybe they had to win three games, I think. It's, none of that matters when the playoffs come around. You got to be ready for the playoffs. And so, yeah, I feel more optimistic now than I did before. I'm not being a pessimist because this team looks like an absolute buzzsaw. But the games that count are when it counts. Other than that, I don't. It's fun, and I don't feel bad anymore. I'm not negative about it. But I mean, the ghosts of playoffs past are still hanging around.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. James, is there anything else popping off in the league right now that we haven't talked about that at least has caught your interest?
If I sat down and thought about it, I should have thought about this question before I came on the show because I want to toss anything out. I do enjoy the will they, won't they, and this is I'm not being sarcastic at all because I know that expectations have shifted. The drama at the bottom of the West is really interesting.
That is. It is.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. These are superstar names, and they are scrapping and clawing for the 9th and 10th seed. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Again, the Phoenix Suns. We talked about it, but let's talk about it again. Two certified superstars in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, and then you got a guy like Beal, max contract, all-star Beal, and they are struggling to hold on. You know, they're out of the six, top six. It's a fascinating race at the bottom, full of talent in the West.
The Western Conference play-in round right now, if it was to begin tonight, would feature Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. Think about that.
And you know what? I think this speaks very well to the job that the Denver Nuggets CEO GM has done, and let's be real, the Boston Celtics CEO, GM, Brad Stevens, because let's be real, Tatum has been really, really good, not maybe MVP quality, but normally best player on the best team gets some kind of talk, and all the talk is, well, the Celtics are too good, because they've gone all in, they drafted well, and they've made some very shrewd moves. Drew Holiday, absolutely stud, and he's probably our fifth best player in our starting lineup. It's incredible, so... Yeah, man, it's going to be, you know, this last stretch. Obviously, as a Celtics fan, I'm not worried about it. But this last stretch with teams jockeying for a position is going to be fascinating.
He's James Holis, joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. James, of course, before I let you go, you got to tell us where we can find more of you.
Basically just Twitter. I am a featured player on the Casual Diehards podcast with my man Jesse Spector. What's up, Jesse? I'll make sure I send him like this timestamp, so I shouted him out. Yeah, him and the crew over there are doing good things over at Casual Diehard, so check them out. And, but yeah, at Snotty Drippin, homage to one of the greatest players of the 90s, Scottie Pippen, who's a real weirdo these days, but I still love him.
James, it's always fun to get you on the show, man. I appreciate the time.
You the man, brother.
We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.